Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Hallelujah. To your precious bleeding side. Thank the Lord tonight for another opportunity for us to draw near to Him. And that in the studying of His words, which are precious. Tonight, as we had mentioned last week, we will attempt to look on the book of Leviticus, chapter 1. Many of us have taken the time out just to read through chapter 1 of Leviticus. We'll be reading it tonight again. By no means, this is meant to be a very detailed study, but more so of an overview. In the beginning, we'll move forward in with an introduction and then looking on chapter 1 of Leviticus. I know this is a book that oftentimes is not read, is avoided, because it's a very technical book and the meaning of it is not easily understood. We see coming up in the book of Leviticus God's sacrificial system and His laws, and it's often not read nor taught. But tonight we're going to ask the Lord to lead us and to open our eyes to recognize the beauty of this book, what His words are, what He expects of us. So let's read Leviticus chapter 1. And let me read from the Let me switch over to the New Living Translation. Bible said, the Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle to your flock of sheep and goats. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept it. The Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with Him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the flock, it may be either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a male with known defects. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons, the priests, will splatter its blood against all the sides of the altar. And cut the animal in pieces, and the priests will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. And the priests will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If you present a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. But first he must drain its blood against the side of the altar. The priest must also remove the crop and the feathers and throw them in the ashes on the east side of the altar. Then grasping the bird by its wings, the priest will tear the bird open, but without tearing it apart. Then he will burn it as a burnt offering on the wood burning on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. I just wish I could see the faces of everyone while reading this text. I know I would be looking at different expressions. It's very bloody. Why the killing? Why the blood? Why the details, the specific instructions of the Lord towards the worshiper and to the priest? Everything we just read here has to do with worship. Leviticus, there are certain principles that we will need to understand. The book of Leviticus, and one of the first ones is that God divides, he elects, and he separates. We recognize that this is one of the first principles that we find out about God. Because in the act of creation, the Bible said he divided the earth from the water. He separated it. He divided light from darkness. The firmament, he divided. So one of the guiding principles, or the first principles in understanding the book of Leviticus, is that God divides, he elects, and he separates. Another thing that we need to understand is that the book of Leviticus speaks about intentional sins and unintentional sins. That's not man's classification, but that is God's classification. He speaks about intentional sins and unintentional sins. The sacrificial system deals with unintentional sins. And we will learn much more about the sacrificial system, the entire sacrificial system. This is the first step that was given, Leviticus chapter 1. But it deals with the sacrificial system found in Leviticus deals with unintentional sin. And in understanding the sacrificial system, which is about more than atoning for sins, we will understand that Jesus fulfilled more than the Levitical sacrificial system. And the foundational principle behind the sacrificial system is substitution. Substitution. Instead of, we read last week about the instructions that God gave to Abraham to take his only son, whom he loved, Isaac, the promised seed, and to sacrifice him unto the Lord as a burnt offering. And instead of, when Abraham rather faithfully followed what the Lord had instructed him to do, when he raised the knife to slay his only son, there was a cry from heaven. And instead of slaying his son, there was a ram, a substitute caught in the ticket that he could offer instead of Isaac as a sacrifice. In Leviticus, we read, we'll find out that God's justice system consists of the sacrificial system and what we call the laws. Sacrificial system and the laws. And each of them had a different purpose. The sacrificial system leads to, which was for unintentional sins, leads to forgiveness. The law leads to punishment. So here we have now, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, the Lord called out to Moses, calls out to Moses. And that word called is very significant. It carries with it a meaning that what is about to be shared is of the highest importance. Just as in Exodus chapter 19, going on to 20, when the Lord called Moses to the mountain of Sinai, called out to him. And we should possibly, if in our spare time, read through Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 19, going to 20. And we recognize that it was no ordinary revelation as it relates to the Lord. Even the people of Israel, they begged Moses not to have the Lord speak to them because of how terrible it was. And so in Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle, called to him, and said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. These instructions as it relates to the burnt offering that is written in Leviticus chapter 1 that we're discussing right now. From this expression from the Lord, we understand the interest that God has in mankind. He's interested in having a relationship with mankind. He said, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from the herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. Even though God is interested in us as humans, one of the very first things that we understand that God has a principle as it relates to how man can approach him. God has a principle as it relates to how man will approach him, how man will worship him. And so, he tells them first, when you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. If we recall in the Garden of Eden, when mankind sinned against the Lord and they were left, or their eyes rather were opened up to their nakedness and they became ashamed, guilt captured every fiber of their being. The Bible told us that the Lord provided for them garments of skin, indicating not much is said about what happened, but indicating that there was indeed some shedding of blood. He covered them. When God destroyed the known world then and saved Noah and his family, when Noah came from the ark, he killed an animal, placed it on the altar, offered it up to the Lord, shed blood. Before Noah, the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abel sacrificed a lamb from his flock unto the Lord, and it pleased the Lord. So we understand that this is not something that is new. But in calling Israel out of Egypt, God is setting his people up to be different from the world. He's calling them into relationship. If we recall, when Moses went down with Aaron down to Pharaoh, he said, let us go that we may worship our Lord. We want to go into the wilderness and we want to worship our God. Now they are released from Pharaoh. They're released from Egypt. And their intention is to worship the Lord. But the Lord is now instructing them as to how proper worship must be conducted. And I want to make this as simple as possible for us to understand. Now he says, when you present an animal, in other words, the first gift, first offering that you're going to make to me must be an offering of blood. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or your flock of sheep and goats. It's not a wild beast, not something you catch in the bushes and present it to me. But it's something that should cost you. I want something from your herd. And it's good for us to note that meat was not, it's not like today where we have an abundance of meat. But meat was really a delicacy in those days. And so the Lord is instructing them to take from your herd something that cost you, something that you will understand that this gift is no ordinary thing. And that has to do with our worship. We don't just present ourselves to the Lord in a manner that we see as fit. Now, the Lord dictates what worship will be accepted from what will not be accepted. And that's a fact. That's something that he allows us to know from the beginning, that he doesn't accept every kind of worship. That's where we get religion from. Man's attempt to please God on his own merit. But we can't please God that way. We have to act in obedience to honor what he requires of us. If we know also, he speaks about offerings taken from the herd of cattle or the flock of sheep and goats. And he also speaks about the offering as it relates to a bird. So what we get from this is that every worshiper or every man who intends to worship God is provided with the ability to bring an offering to the Lord. Those who could not afford a bull, a sheep, or a goat, they could afford a turtle dove or a pigeon. So no Israelite, and let's remember now, at this time the Lord was dealing with the Israelites, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, however you want to term it. But no individual in the Lord's nation was left or could give an excuse as not having the ability to provide an offering to the Lord, because they could provide down to a bird, a pigeon, or a turtle dove. So those who want to worship God correctly is given the ability if they so desire. So none of us can give God an excuse. God provides for the heart, for the individual who wants to worship him. How different, as we examine the book of Leviticus, how different it is. The man who is interested in providing an offering for the Lord, he has to go out, look on his flock, observe his flock, carry out the instructions of the Lord, take from his flock. If it's from the herd, It must be a male without defects. He's looking for a male cattle or herd. If it's from the herd. A male with no defects, no blemish. He has to inspect his entire herd. Look for a male. In other words, brothers and sisters, one of the things that I've learned from this passage of scripture is that the worshiper is at no time passive in his expression. Worship is not passive. When he makes a decision and believes this is the best, this animal matches exactly what the Lord requires, it's still not left up to him. He brings it to the entrance of the tabernacle so it may be accepted by the Lord. The priest would inspect it also to make sure that it's fitting or it will be accepted by the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Does that look like worship today? Which at times when we talk about worship, we talk about feelings. In today's language, and that's what I feel. That's what I want to give to the Lord. No. He has to be obedient to what the Lord requires. The Lord said, lay your hand on the animal's head and the Lord will accept it, its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. One of the things that we'll recognize here too, as we move on into observing or to learning about the other sacrifices, is that this sacrifice, which is called the burnt offering, or from the Hebrew term, the olah, which speaks more about the ascending, or to ascend or to bring near. One of the things we recognize that this sacrifice was not for any particular sin. This is a worshiper who wants to maintain his relationship to the Lord, who wants to draw near to the Lord. He brings it to the Lord. He lays his hand on the animal's head. So we understand now that instead of dealing with a particular sin, more so the very sin condition of us as humans in our fallen nature, the nature of sin that dwells within us, he wants to approach God, but God is holy. And no sin can come in contact with God. So he lay his hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you. Brothers and sisters, what we recognize here also, when the Lord says, or the writer to the Hebrew says, if any man who is desirous of coming to the Lord, he must believe that God is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Faith. Everything that we see here as it relates to the worshiper coming to God is an act of faith. The animal itself means nothing. But the very mindset of the worshiper is to obey the instructions of the Lord and to believe by faith that what the Lord has instructed, that the benefits of the sacrifice, he will receive it if he performs it according to what the Lord has instructed. That's faith. Worship is faith in God. It must be done by faith. It's not a performance. It's not passive. It's not a performance. It's by faith. Here we see a literal example. But worship still continues, albeit not in this fashion. But it's even now of a higher form, based on the revelation that we have received as it relates to Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in his word, no man comes to the Father but by me. No man can come to God except through Jesus. That's a hint for us that ties him back to the sacrificial system. No man can formulate his own concept of how he wants to relate to God. Jesus said it must be done through him. Obedience, faith in Jesus. That's the only way a man can find peace with God. And so, not much is said as it relates to the laying of hands, which speaks of perhaps the transfer of one's guilt. But the man or the worshiper understands that this animal, in laying his hand on the animal, he recognized that this animal will become his substitute. This animal is about to die in his stead. There's nothing trivial about this. It takes a great deal of focus. He stands before the presence of the Lord, and his ultimate goal is to seek peace from God. He lays his hand on the animal's head. Perhaps a prayer is said, or the reason. Because as you go on in Leviticus, you will recognize that the Lord requires burnt offerings for different acts. And then, it said, the Lord will accept its debt in your place to purify you, making you right with him. His desire is to have peace with God, to have a right standing with God. And then the, He's commanded to slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, or to kill. And when we look on that word kill, it has a very deep meaning. In other words, the very act is not just cutting the throat of the animal, but it must be quick, and it must not torture the animal. And the very act should be as painless as possible to the animal. So the worshiper, it's hands-on, brothers and sisters. His mind is involved. His heart is involved. Everything is involved. He looks on the animal, searches, but he's looking for the main artery that's heading to the head, that's carrying the blood. The priest is standing by, ready to catch the blood that will drain from the animal. A worshiper has his tool. Let's call it a knife. And he slits the throat of the animal very quickly. And all the blood is drained in a bowl, a container. Because the life is in the blood. Quite different from how passive our churches have become. I'm not suggesting that we go looking for animals, because we understand that Jesus had paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. But look, let's look at how involved the worshiper was. It wasn't coming to sit down, to watch what was happening, sing a few songs, and go home. Every fiber of his being was involved. And he slaughtered the young bull in the Lord's presence. And Aaron's son. You see the significance, brothers and sisters? Everything was done with an awareness that he is in the Lord's presence. He is in the Lord's presence. And Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Aaron's sons and the priests presents the animal blood by splattering against all the sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then the worshiper will have to skin the animal and cut it into pieces. It's a lot of work. Sons of Aaron, the priest, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat and the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. It has to be cleaned. What does this tell us? That God will reject anything that does not match what he requires. We cannot just offer any kind of worship to God. It's interesting for us to note in chapter 2 of Leviticus, it speaks more about the meat and the grain offerings. It's quite interesting for us to note that Abel offered a sacrifice of blood. Cain offered what is considered food offering. But God is now not teaching something new here. He's establishing what was given, or we will have to assume that it was given by God to Adam. Because we see Abel even offering to God. We see Noah offering to God on the altar exactly what is given here. When we recognize, or when we look at Cain's attempt to please God, he just gave God an offering, but an offering that was not established on blood or founded on blood. And so God rejects it. But he accepted Abel's offering. Proving, brothers and sisters, that God will only accept what he requires. Back to Leviticus chapter 1. Verse 8, I believe. He said, they will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. Specific and detailed instructions. This will allow us to understand how important it is for us to read our Bibles to know what God requires of us. Ignorance to details is not an excuse. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. That word offering in the Hebrew is korban. And as I said earlier, the Hebrew word for it is ola, which means ascend. So the translation is rather a functional one, because the entire sacrifice is burnt up on the altar. Listen what the text says. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. This was not food for the Lord. It's a gift from man to God. It is a gift from man to God, but it's a gift in which God instructs mankind what to give, how to give it, how to present it, that it may be accepted of him. It is a pleasing aroma to the Lord. In other words, brothers and sisters, as I have said before, the word for it is ola, for the burnt offering, ola, which it means to ascend. When it's burnt, it speaks now of the smoke going up, ascending. It is not the smoke that is pleasing to the Lord, but it's the aroma. Pleases the Lord. And the worshiper, having done all this, will recognize that his offering is accepted of God. And he leaves in peace. He leaves finding peace with God. There's much more details that I could get into. But let's recognize in its simplest form what is our intention when we come before God. Am I serving God based on feelings? Am I serving Him based on the culture of an assembly? Or am I rendering to Him what He specifically instructs me to do? Is it service from the heart? Because what this tells us is that the worshiper, everything he does is coming from the heart. It's an act of faith. He believes that he can find peace through this medium. And so he brings his gift to the Lord in an attempt to have a right relationship with God. And by faith, when he gives his gift to the Lord, he leaves with peace with God. Every one of us, God has invested in us, given us the ability to worship Him in an acceptable manner. As I said before, Leviticus will teach us that worship is not passive. To obey God will cost us something. May even cost us our lives. But our worship must be established on the principles that God has given us. Not on man's doctrines or teachings. Not on our opinions, not on our feelings, but on what God lays down in His book, in the scriptures. Leviticus will allow us to understand that God demands holiness. Why? Because He is holy. entire congregation of the Lord must be holy. That's what one of the lessons that we will learn from Leviticus. The holiness of God. And how mere mortal men will approach Him. God bless you, everyone.